Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I'm excited about what God's doing. Steve, talk to me. Talk to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we were stirred up yesterday, Pat, as we were talking about being hungry. Hungry for a move of God. Mm-hmm. Hungry for God's outpouring, His touch and His presence. And I know that the Lord's been speaking to you, been spending time with the Lord. But share with us a little bit what's on your heart, man. What God's saying.
Well, you know, just having yesterday's conversation just really stirred my faith and just got me just so even greater hunger. And I love that, just talking about the things of the Lord. And as I was just spending time with God and just thinking about this and just really chewing about just that process of being hungry. And it just really makes me think of, you know, you've shared many times before on the program about your time in the LSU Medical Center and being in the hospital and being at those bedsides of those that were at their deathbed, those were dying. And I was actually just having a recent conversation of someone that if they know they're about to die, they don't eat. Mm. They lose their appetite. Mm. They lose their taste for food. And it's so significant to have that. It's just like if you're not eating, you're dying.
Right. You know, that's called the clue.
Yeah. And you know, I've spoken with Greg about it, you know, many times before. And it's just like, what is, you know, when a baby's born, what is that sign that the baby's healthy? They're hungry.
Yeah.
Right? They want to eat. They're yearning for milk. They're yearning for food. It's just feed me. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, same thing is that Jesus says, in order for you to see the kingdom, you must be born again. So it's like if someone has that encounter that says, yes, I want to know Jesus in my life, but for some reason, if they're not yearning and reaching and just scratching for a Bible and saying, I need the word, I need something, I'm hungry. Yeah. If that's not there, there's something wrong.
It's a clue.
Yeah, like you got to have that hunger.
Right. You're absolutely right. You know, I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, and I couldn't put the Bible down. Yeah. I couldn't put the Bible down. I wanted to read everything, and I wasn't a reader at the time. I mean, sad to say, I was in college, and I hated reading anything, any textbook or any other book. But, man, it's just amazing the moment. Yeah. It's like the moment I gave my life to God. It's like, switch.
Yep.
Hunger, I want to get it all in me, His truth, and I want to devour it. And I can just remember, I mean, at one time, I didn't even have a television in my house. I got rid of everything. I was just reading the Word and just reading books that would help me in my walk with God. But tremendous hunger for the Word of God.
Yeah, I was right there with you, because like when Jesus Christ came into my life and someone had said, you need to get a Bible, and it's just like I had never been in a bookstore and looked for like the Bible aisle or like where I get one. And it was just like I was a man on a mission, and it was just like to see that aisle for the first time, and it was just like, you know, Bible after Bible after Bible after Bible. I remember standing in that aisle and just like
being overwhelmed. I'm sure.
Really? Yeah. And it's just like you get that, and it's like you open the Bible for the first time, and just that hunger for God overwhelms you, and you're like, I want to know everything about Him. And anybody that says anything about Jesus, you're just hanging on their every word, because this awesome God wants to know me, and I can know Him. And it's just, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, that is just the beginning. But you look at that, and that is a sure sign of life. It's a sure sign of healthiness. And if you don't have that, and it's just like, okay, that's something's missing.
Right.
We got to get that back and more. We ask for more.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that is just amazing, because that's what happens. I mean, the more that we sit at the Lord's feet, the more we want Him. I think about Matthew 5:60 that says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. By the way, these are letters in red. It means Jesus spoke these letters, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, this is a promise.
Yeah.
You can understand that when Jesus promises something, Jesus delivers, okay? He's faithful, He's true, and He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And you know, a lot of things move God. You know, need doesn't move God. You know, lack doesn't move God. What moves God, what gets God's attention, are those that are hungry after him. Not after what he can do for them, not for what he can provide them,
yeah.
not for the miracles and the signs and the wonders, because all of those things just point to his majesty, his glory, who he is, right? But those that hunger for his presence, hunger to know him, you know, that's really one of the heartbeats that you know, things are close to my heart is, you know, do you know him and does he know you? And there's something about knowing God. You know, for many years, I didn't even know that was possible before I gave my life to God. I think oftentimes people think that, you know, only the men of God, the pastor, right. or whoever, you know, is the person that is supposed to know God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't know this, we're going to let you in on something right here, right now. We're going to let this out. God, the creator and the manager of the universe,
mm-hmm.
the one where heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, the one who created, you know, everything that you see, your ability to breathe right now,
mm-hmm.
God, he desires a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
He desires to walk with you, to speak with you. He desires to love on you and for you to love him back. God, he cares about you. You know. And that may be overwhelming. And my goodness, when you really understand that and get a hold of that revelation, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
It changes everything. It changes who you are on the inside out. And you're no longer content for what others have to say about him. You say, no, I want to know him for myself. I mean, that's great what you're sharing. That's great what you're teaching and preaching. But I know him as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and oftentimes people are tap dancing to earn a place, that performance acceptance syndrome. So if mm-hmm. I can tap dance long enough and sing a couple songs and do a couple things, maybe I can earn his favor or his love or his blessing. But, you know, I often say, you know, you already have it. You can't get much closer than sitting on his lap. I mean, you're on his lap right now. He mm-hmm. he loves you, and he has an amazing plan for your life. And our quest and our journey is to love him. I mean, that's what you're here for. You're here to love him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with everything that's in you, to glorify him on this earth.
Amen.
Because, you know, life is but a vapor, Steve. We're here, and then we're gone.
This is all we got. This is all we have. You know, I'm always so encouraged. I think back to the many conversations that we've had, and even now, just going after God that much more, I think about what you had said, thinking about what Jesus Christ has done for me, if I had 1,000 lifetimes, I would give them all to him, even if he never did anything else for me from this moment. But I'd give him every single life. But this is the only life I have. This is the one moment that I can do anything for him, to display my loving affection and gratitude and say, thank you, God, that I can do anything for him. This is it.
This is it. This is that moment.
Yeah.
We're going to take a brief break. Listen, don't go anywhere. Stay with us, okay? We'll be right back as we continue to talk about being hungry for God. We've been talking about being hungry for God, hungry for a move of God. And, we ended in the break. We were talking about, you know, if we had 1,000 lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God has been so exceedingly and wonderfully good. That's just the thing about him. He's so good. That if I had 1,000 lives, if we had 1,000 lives, we'd give them all of them.
Amen.
But all we have is this one life, Steve. You were saying all we have is this one life.
That's right.
And the question is, what are we going to do with this vapor called life that we're here today? And before you know it, it's done. Mm-hmm. And what we could have or would have or should have done,
mm-hmm.
it's finished.
Yeah.
And we have this moment to love him.
That's right.
With every bit a fiber within us, because he's worthy of it, you know. And the thing is not to love him, but to fall in love with him.
Amen.
To talk to us, man. I mean,
dance with him.
Yes.
Yeah, like when we started talking about that when in one of the earlier programs, as far as just that those footprints and dancing with God and yesterday's discussion, as far as just that hunger for God, it just really reminded me of the lady that was stricken with sickness and she was going after Jesus. And this is in Mark chapter 5. And I so get caught up in this paradigm and all the things that were going on. And to just try to give you give you some background, it's just that this lady had been sick. She had been bleeding for 12 years. Mm. 12 years. And what you really have to take in consideration is just like if someone has a sickness in their body, if they've got a diagnosis or a symptom for years, they're going to go to the doctor, right? They're going to go seek some medicine. They're going to go to the pharmacy. They're going to go to their specialist, and they're going to try to get an answer. They're going to try to get a healing, or they're going to try to get a breakthrough. But at some point, you're going to realize it's just like, this is not fitting. This is not fulfilling. It's not the answer. There's nothing else. I am desperate. Mm. I've tried everything else.
Yeah.
I've listened to people, and they said this was the answer, and I found out it wasn't.
Mm.
So when you read in Mark chapter 5, in the latter part of verse 24, it says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him, pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And there is so much suffering going on right now, and that people are hungry. People are going through so many just difficulties, and we're talking about empathy earlier. It's just what's going on in their lives, because they're looking for things that aren't meant, that weren't designed to fulfill them, that weren't designed to be their answer. And it says that she had spent, verse 26, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Everything she had, she gave.
Right.
And nothing came back. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And it's just like there's those in who probably might be listening right now, and they've given everything they've had to something, and they're looking, and it's only getting worse. In verse 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she simply heard. You know, the Bible says that faith comes through hearing.
Right.
And even now, as we're talking about this, I'm just stirring my faith. It's just talking about the things of Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd.
Mm.
And you think about, and it's just like how so many people were around Jesus, and there was a pressing, and Jesus was walking in a direction. Mm-hmm. And that she was so broken that she didn't yell, she didn't shout, she didn't barge her way into the crowd or come face to face with Jesus, but in humility from behind, she reached out. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because this was her thought in verse 28. If I just touch his clothes, if I can just get near him, I'll be healed.
Mm.
Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She knew at that point that there was no other answer, that nothing else was going to get it. She had been through the journey. She'd been through the conversations. She'd been through the appointments, and nothing was getting it. Verse 30, at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Not who touched me, not who touched my hand, not who touched my neck, or who touched my feet. But Jesus was so aware of her faith that she touched his clothes. You see, the people, and this is the people responding. In verse 31 says, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? Imagine, like we were talking about yesterday, being in a crowd or a concert and just that pressing of a crowd. It's like, I mean, you can't move much.
Right.
You got to ask, hey, can you please move out of the way?
Right.
But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. She knew who Jesus was, mm-hmm. and Jesus knew who this woman was. Mm-hmm. He said to her, "Daughter, not your medicine, not your prescription, not your wealth, not your house, not your car, not your job." He says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and freed from your suffering."
Wow.
Faith.
Yeah.
Allow your faith to get stirred up and just believe. It's just like Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only one that's going to answer.
You know, what's interesting about that story and that encounter was that something on the inside of her touched something that was on the inside of him.
Right.
And what was on the inside of him came out and made her well. You see, there's something on the inside of you that needs to be stirred, that passion and that hunger. And you're saying, listen, I'm hearing you guys and you're talking about hunger, but if I'm honest with myself, if I have a moment where I'm honest and I'm doing a self-evaluation, I'm just not that hungry anymore. I'm just not that hungry anymore. I don't hunger for God's word anymore. I don't hunger for his presence anymore. You know, I don't read my Bible. I'm just not hungry. Well, I got good news for you. Your appetite could be stirred up. You know, you ever been somewhere and someone invites you to eat, Pat, and you just ate an egg omelet. You just ate something, you know what I mean? Or you just had some food.
Yeah.
And they say, listen, I want to take you somewhere. I want you to have a meal. And you're like, man, I'm full. I just ate. Mm-hmm. And they say, oh, well, just come on. And then they start bringing out good smelling stuff. You know what I'm saying? They start bringing out all the food. And you start saying, are those auntie's ribs? Wait a minute. Oh, is that some of that? Oh, okay. Okay. And that aroma starts filling the air and you start, and you get a little bit inside of you.
A little overwhelmed.
Yeah. Listen, my wife used to bake bread and I don't know what was better, the actual taste of the bread
or the smell of the bread that
filled the place. Let me tell you hunger, your appetite can be stirred for God. Listen, God loves you. And you were meant to be in his presence. You were meant to be with him. Don't satisfy for anything else. Don't. There's nothing else that can satisfy but him alone and his presence. And we've been so stirred. We're going to continue talking about being hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Being hungry. And so just dive in with us. If you missed a previous program, go ahead and catch it. Everything will be available for you on the Torch.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great need right now in the land. And and you're seeing where God is stirring. He's stirring the hearts of his people. And it appears to me, because you know, I'm hungry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hungry. I know you're hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Pat, you hungry?
I'm hungry.
I know you're hungry.
More Lord.
Yes. Chris is hungry, too.
More Lord.
You know, but we're hungry.
Yes.
We're hungry for God himself, not what God can do. Listen, God can do anything. We're not after his hand, we're after his face. Very important, you know what I mean? But he's stirring his people.
Oh, yeah.
He's stirring his people for more of him. And listen, there is hope today. I know that you're seeing all over the news so many dark things happening and just so many, you know, things that are happening all across, you know, the world. Let me tell you, there is good hope in Jesus, okay? There is hope in the Lord. And God is doing something that, my goodness, I'm telling you, it's going to shake the world.
Mm.
It's going to shake the world. And we're excited about it. You know, throughout history, you know, there's been powerful moves of God. I mean, you can talk about, you know, the Welsh Revival, the First and Great Awakenings. You can talk about Azusa Street Revival, Asbury, you know, what happened in the 70s with the Jesus Movement. I mean, there's been Brownsville Revival, what God did in Argentina. I mean, the Moravians, 100 years of prayer, 100 years of nonstop, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer. You know, oftentimes people talk about John Wesley, who's the founder of the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John and Charles Wesley, they were brothers. His brother wrote over 10,000 hymns, 10,000 hymns. And in fact, there's a book. My understanding, there's a book about the Wesleys. It's called Wesleys. England before and after the Wesleys. Can you imagine England before and after the Wesleys? These two men of God that were on fire. They God used them. God used them powerfully. But it was John Wesley who actually got right with God. He was already a minister, got right with God on a boat with the Moravians. These people were so hungry for God, and they were desired his presence. They committed to 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer, and it's just amazing. It's amazing what God can do with hunger. You know what I mean, Steve?
Right.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
We've been talking about how even with food, you know, you can eat some things in the natural. We were talking about this earlier, mm-hmm. about, you know, for instance, sweets. You know, I happen to like sweets. You know, sweets. You know,
yes, we know this.
Yes. Okay, don't rub it in. You know, I love key lime pie. Okay, let's stop. Some Valencia cake for those in New York. In the Bronx, you can always send some. But the thing about sweets and some of the foods that we eat, they're nothing but empty calories. You know, they taste good and they're delightful at the time, but you know, after that, mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of baggage that comes with that extra
hungry.
Slice. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not only, you know, you have the calories and all the other things. If it's high sugar, I mean, you can list all the other stuff, right? But at the end of the day, you're still not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had those moments where I'm like, just had another piece of cake. I just had some ice cream. And it's like, am I really thinking I'm going to get up again? You know, because this just didn't hit it. It went nowhere, empty. And listen, there's a lot of things that people are feasting on today. That's not satisfying you. I mean, you've tried everything, you know? We know because we did it ourselves, you know? In fact, you can read some of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We didn't write everything, but we did write some. And so you can see that we've been on a journey as well, that we've tried everything. And nothing satisfies like God. I often say, Steve, it's, you know, you can turn on the tub in your home.
Yeah.
And you can put on the hot and cold water full blast.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat, you can walk out in the morning and come back 10 hours later, and that water can be running for straight 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But that tub will never be filled unless there's a little thing called the plug in the bottom.
That's right.
And, you know, prior to meeting Jesus, that was what my life was all about. I was always trying to feed something and feed, you know, myself and on things and stuff. And listen, there's no amount of partying and just money and jobs and relationships, there's nothing that satisfies because you still want more. There's still a gaping hole in your life. But the only one that can satisfy is a relationship with Jesus. You know, giving your life to Jesus is not like a one-time check. You know, I prayed a prayer and that's it. No, when you've given your life to the Lord, you've just walked into the foyer, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Explore the whole house. You know, there's rooms, there's places, there's things that God wants to develop and grow in mm-hmm. you, and it's a journey.
Yeah.
And so you want to stay hot.
Yeah.
You don't want to get lukewarm. You want to stay hot and passionate about what God is and what he's doing. Now, what's he doing today in your generation? And I know we've been talking about a move of God. And I know, Steve, that, you know, you've been sharing with us about those that have hungered, those that have cried out for a move of God and what that was like. Share with us.
Well, I've been reading. There's been a book that has just really just stirred me and just so challenged me. And it's Leonard Ravenhill. And it's a book that's called Why Revival Tarries. And it's just that realization of just like, why is it waiting?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a consistent reality of just like the difference between where the present church is today and where it was in the book of Acts.
Right.
And that difference. And we've got to get back to that and the purity of it. But the amazing thing is that just as we've been talking about hunger, Leonard Ravenhill does an amazing job of just how he correlates and just goes back and the journeys of just those women of God in the Bible, and they went through their own season of crying out for God, and those women that were barren, that weren't able to have children, that were just crying out and just believing God for a mighty miracle. And reading through and going back and actually reading in the Word about these specific women, I think about Rachel. And when you look in Genesis 30, is that Jacob had two wives at the time, and one was Leah and one was Rachel. And in Genesis 29, verse 17, it talks about the differences. And it says, verse 17, it says, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. And in verse 19, it says, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. And it goes through, and Leah had multiple children. She had four boys at this time, and as continuing to birth sons for Jacob. But through all of this, Rachel, it says, the word says she was a beautiful woman. She was lovely in form. Mm-hmm. But she did not have any sons.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, just that in itself, how it says that she's lovely in form and that her with eyes she looks beautiful. But she still had no sons. And that really got me thinking about the fact of just like how beautiful the things are of the world. Like you're saying, that there's things that our eyes can see that can draw us to, but we're still not fulfilled. Mm-hmm. There's one thing that we want in our lives. There's one thing that we hunger for. And that's just for just a birth in the kingdom. Because Jesus says, in order to see the kingdom, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. We want that move of God. And that, you know, I talked about recently how it's like you can read a scripture, but there's so much but in that you don't really think about. And in that time in Israel, it's just like it was almost like a wealth or I don't know the best word, but it's just like a significant when you have a son,
because
mm-hmm. you can have children or their daughters, but it's a blessing to be able to pass it on to your right. oldest son, right, or your firstborn son. And you think about the mocking that Rachel went through, or you think about the tears, that the one thing that she wanted was just a son, while the woman to her side was having son after son after son. And what totally gripped me, in Genesis 30, verse 1, it says, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. And it makes me think about the lady that we were just talking about in Mark 5 that says, when I just heard about Jesus, I knew I had to have him in my life. Mm. You got to get to that point where it's like, I have got to have Jesus or I'll die. There is nothing else in my life. Well, you got to have that hunger. You've got that yearning. You've got that just overwhelming passion and consuming desire to say, I have got to have him in my life, because nothing else is going to satisfy, just like what you're talking about earlier. And it's just, we need to arrive to that desperation. Mm-hmm. And continuing on, it's just like thinking about those women, and just while we're staying right here, is like you look in 1 Samuel and you look at Hannah. And Hannah, again, was another woman who had gone through a season where the word even says is that God closed her womb, so she wasn't able to have a son. And reading through this in 1 Samuel, it says in verse 5, it says, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And that makes me think of like the journey. It's just like when you get so hungry for God and you're yearning for something, there's going to be those that are going to be next to you being like, they're going to be provoking you. It's just like, why are you going after God?
Right.
You know, you know, the things that are going on in the world, you know, you can do this, you can do that. And they're going to provoke you.
Isn't that interesting? That those that are not hungry after God are always trying to, you know,
stop you,
yeah. pull you down, distract and say, you, hey, yeah. you're stop yeah. being radical. Yeah, imagine right. that. It's like, you know, are you going to tell
Come
your
do
spouse?
This insignificant thing with
yeah.
me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Really? You're going to want to be in the Lord's presence again? Why
going
would you want
overboard.
To do that?
You, yeah. need, you need to turn it down a bit.
Yeah. Really? You just all you want to do is just keep worshiping God? Really? Why don't we do this or do that? Or, yeah. oh, my, you're just being radical. Yeah. You're just, well, my goodness, can you imagine telling someone not to be radical and, you know, in love with the person, you know, that they're married to or whatever. It's like, well,
are you going out to eat with your wife again?
Yeah.
Really?
You just went out to eat with your wife 2 months
already?
Ago. Didn't you do that already, you know?
All right.
Yeah. And that is just like, it's so rings true to those that are hungry for God, because they're going to have that provoking voice around them. But it's like when you get to that desperation, you get to that place where it's just like, I just don't care.
Right.
It doesn't bother me. I need that. And in verse 7, it says, this went on year after year. Huh. Wow. That is so true. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Isn't this job enough for you? Didn't I do all these things for you? Aren't you satisfied? Why are you so downhearted? And it's just, if you've got a hunger in your heart and it's like that hunger's good. Don't listen to the voices. Don't listen to those people that are contradicting what Jesus says about you. And in verse 9, it just says, it continues on, and Hannah ends up going before the temple, and it says that in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord.
Wow. You know, we're going to continue when we get back from the break, but you know, when you were saying about the provoking, I heard a businessman say that, listen, I have friends that said I'd never be a public speaker, and that was a desire of this man's heart. So he said, you know what I did? You know what I did? I just changed my friends. I just changed my friends. Listen, you got people that's telling you, you don't have to go after God. You don't have to be hungry for him. You don't have to do all that. You know what you need to do? Change your friends. Change your friends, because you know what? If you and God is a majority, you don't need anybody else. In the previous program, about being hungry for God, hungry for his presence, hungry for who he is and not just what he, you know, not what he can do, and hungry for a move of God, an outpouring of his spirit that radically changes our lives and every, you know, sector of our existence, you know. Amen. You know, when God's presence comes in, when the move of God comes, it just doesn't affect people's hearts, but it goes into the community. It changes, you know, business, how people transact business. It changes how people, you know, are in government, act, because because they've changed. Their hearts have changed. When we align our hearts with God, then the things that we're doing, the areas of influence and the authority that he's given us, you know, in the world, we begin to change things that reflect who he is. You know, laws become just, and it just has ripple effect. And so we're talking about being hungry and being passionate, and some of the examples that you were talking about, women in the Old Testament that were desperate to have a child and that nothing satisfied them, because at that period in time, you know, it was everything to have a child. It was everything to have a male, that the lineage of the family would continue.
Right.
And women, you know, they understood at that time that, listen, I need to birth these children and raise them up so that the lineage will continue. And you were talking about all that. I mean, continue to share with us.
Well, just continuing on as far as just Hannah's just desperation and her travail, and continuing on in 1 Samuel was the fact that saying that she was praying in verse 13. It says she was praying in her heart and her lips were moving. And Eli at the time was seeing her, but he wasn't hearing her. He was seeing her lips move. And it's amazing what he says. He says, how long? Eli thought she was drunk. How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. And it's the amazing thing is, like, that's exactly what they told the disciples in Acts 2 when Pentecost came. And God moved so powerfully because they were so hungry and obedient to the Lord Jesus.
Think about that. She was in with such yearning and such brokenness that her husband actually thought she was drunk, when in reality, she was not. I mean, what was happening on the inside of her heart and her passion, and it comes to a place, man, where you're just like, ugh. There's a release. There's a grieving. There's a mourning. There's a yearning. There's a longing. You're full of emotion. You're like, everything's got to go. I've got to have God.
Yes, yes. And that's where it so just gripped me, because it says, skipping down in verse 16, says, "Do not," and this is Hannah, she says, "Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Being in a place of anguish, in holy desperation for a move of God in your life, in your family, in your city, in your nation, in your generation is a beautiful place. Because I will promise you that God hears those prayers and that he is setting up to respond. And the powerful thing is that looking through the journey, like I said, of multiple women, just Rachel and Hannah are just the two. You look at the journeys of Sarah. She was barren until she was 90, but she birthed Isaac. Rachel birthed Joseph. Manoah's wife was the one that birthed Samson, who was a judge who delivered the nation, right? Hannah, who we just talked about, who did she birth? The son that she had was Samuel. Samuel was the prophet who ended up anointing David. And David was the one who was in the lineage of Jesus. You look at Elizabeth. Elizabeth was also stricken without the ability to have children for years. And who did she birth? John the Baptist. And the powerful thing is, though, those women of God went through those seasons. And imagine if they did not, the powerful men of God that we would have lacked. And the thing is, though, that is the same message for the church today. The fact that if we do not get a holy desperation of God, what mighty moves of God are we going to miss out on? Being in that place of anguish, being in that place of just hungry for Jesus is a beautiful place. And the awesome thing is that when you think about how these ladies were pregnant and they were able to have children, we have got to get pregnant with a passion for Jesus, with a holy passion and hunger for a move of God in our generation. And having that hunger, that's where it starts.
Absolutely. You know, it's exciting, everything that we're sharing, because it all starts with one. You know, oftentimes people are looking for somebody else. You know, can somebody else pray for revival? Can somebody else pray for the outpouring? Can somebody else do this? And listen, revival and the outpouring begins in your own heart.
Amen.
You know, decide today. You know, I am going to be a revivalist, and I'm going to work with God so that he can work on me, so that he can revive me and light me up. Light me up. Light me on fire for you. You know, I think about the artist Shane and Shane, and they've written a song called Yearn, and maybe we can relate this to this segment, but the word yearn means to have an intense feeling or longing for something. It's time for us to yearn. It's time for us to cry out. It's time for us to be desperate for God and God alone and for the outpouring of his presence. Because when God shows up, I mean, he comes to take over.
That's right.
It's like a tsunami of his glory. It just continues to fill and cover everything it touches. Listen, God is on the move. It's time, man. It's time. I can feel it. I know that we're stirred, and we hope that you're stirred too. Get hungry for God. He's the only one that can satisfy you. And when God touches you, it's all over. We've been talking about and been stirred about being hungry for God. There's a lot of things that you can be hungry for, but nothing will satisfy you, the longing of your heart and what you were created for, but God, Jesus, and him alone. And the good news is that if you're listening today or watching and you're not hungry, I mean, you've come to the realization that, you know, I just don't have that passion in my life, because you may be saying, hey, that's good for you guys, right? But I'm not there. Well, the good news is that you can be there. And that's why we're sharing, because appetite can be stirred. You can be stirred to be hungry for him. And we want to give you some good news. You know, God gives you an invitation in Isaiah 55. It was like those invitations that come in the mail. You're invited. You're invited. It makes you kind of feel special, right? Well, God has a special invitation for you in Isaiah 55, and it says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Come. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. You know, the Word of God says to taste and see that the Lord is good. God's giving you an invitation. If you're thirsty, if you come on and eat at his table. There is fresh bread in the oven, and he wants to delight and eat with you and feed you more of him. And I think about a couple things, but I think about Psalms 42:1, Pat, Steve, when this verse of scripture is wonderful. I love it, but many people know it, but it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And it comes a time in your life where you realize, and hopefully it's sooner than later, maybe it's right now, that you say, this other stuff's not happening. It's just not working. You know, I've got caught up in the grind of life. I got caught up in the American dream. I've got caught up with going to job, you know, paying bills, running the kids around, all this type of stuff. And I allowed all these things to fill my schedule and my time that I've got to a place where I haven't read my Bible. My goodness, I haven't read my Bible in weeks. And then the enemy shames me and just says, don't even pick it up. And it's hard for me. I'm not soft where I used to be, where just listening to a song of worship in the background would just melt me and flood my heart with beautiful memories of the Lord. My heart right now is so hard, you can bounce stones off of them. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you today. We have good news. Listen, God will take that heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like him that begin to wet the dry areas and to water those areas. You know, we have a plan for you that you can get. You can go to iabide.org, and it's so important to just begin. You know, oftentimes people get so overwhelmed by it. They're like, oh, my goodness, I know what I am supposed to be doing, but I'm so far away from that, and it seems like such a huge mountain, and they get so overwhelmed that they don't even begin.
Right.
And listen, the journey of 1,000 miles is, you know, starts with the first step. You know what I mean? You just begin. Take expectations off and just begin. And you can begin with a simple plan. And the simple plan talks and shares with you the Bible, and you get a journal, and you just spend some time. You know, man gets into measurement where they say you got to be this amount of time, you got to read this, you know, this much and all of this. And listen, it's not about that. Mm-mm. It's not about that. It's about finding a little dedicated place in your home. Maybe you have a room that nobody's using, or maybe there's this particular time in the home where it's very quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you have your favorite chair, or there's a swing in your backyard where you can sit and abide with the Lord.
Yeah.
And you can make room for him. I think about, you know, the widow that made room for the prophet. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just make room for the Lord in your heart, in your home. Mm-hmm. And you'll begin to see a softening in your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, you begin to a softening in your heart. Oftentimes, you know, when I had just gotten saved and given my life to the Lord, I was always encouraged by what was shared and preached, and after a while I'm like, well, you know, that's great. I love the what, you know, that's cool. You know, got that. I read that too. But at a certain point, we get encouraged when people sometimes share with us the how, and it's not the same for everybody. You know, everyone spends time with the Lord a little bit different because it's intimate. It's different, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's different ways. Sometimes you can just, you know, I would just love to lay in the office, you know, and put on some worship music and just worship the Lord, sing to him, not about him or, you know, but to sing to him. And it's amazing how his presence just fills the room, the environment. And it's a special moment. It's a special time. And when your heart gets stirred and your faith gets stirred, you get hungry. Mm. You want to know the one in whom who he's wooing you.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, God, you know, we're not in a place where God wants us to be, not because God doesn't want us there. It's because we're ignoring the wooing.
Mm-hmm.
We're ignoring the call. God whispers gently. And you got to begin to start scraping the things off of your plate that are clouding your ability to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, Proverbs 27:7 says that he who is full loathes. That word loathe means they're disgusted with honey. If you think about Thanksgiving dinner, you've eaten so much sometimes, and someone says, well, we got pie. You're like, ugh.
No thanks.
I'm full.
Okay. Let's talk after the game, maybe 3 hours later, we'll be ready for dessert. But right now, I can't eat another thing, right? It happens to happen every year, even though I say it, I'm going to slow down this year. Just the food's so good, right? And so the word says that he who is full loathes, is disgusted with honey, because honey is desirable, sweet, it's good, right? But he who is hungry, even that which is bitter, doesn't taste good. It's just, even that which is bitter, he'll eat. Mm-hmm. And there are times where your plate has become so full, you got to just get out and start chunking things. Take that off, take this off, take that off. Listen, if you're too busy to be with God, then you're just too busy.
Yeah.
Something's got to go. Something's got to go, because you can't do anything without him.
Mm-mm.
He's the chief thing, the important thing, the A1 in your life before you get, you know, any conversation or anything you do that day. Because he's everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can begin to make room for him, and you can begin to you know, have this relationship, and where now you can begin to start hearing the wooing.
Mm-hmm.
That you can hear the still, small voice. You can begin to hear the time that he's just reminding you of verses of scriptures and times and where he blessed you and moved upon you. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like gratitude to stir your heart. You know, there's nothing like taking a few minutes when you meet with God, when you open your word to abide, just to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes I've heard people say, you know, I don't know what to pray. I can, you know, only pray a few minutes. Listen, you can pray hours when you start off with a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you start thanking him for your health and what he's done for your family. Just let the Lord lead you. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, before you know it, you're so stirred in your faith with gratitude and love. You're like, I love you. I just needed to be reminded again how amazing you are. And if you took one finger off of me, I'd just, not even a finger, pinky, whatever, I'd fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm nothing without you. Hold me together. And we just want to encourage you and remind you that Jesus is still today, the one who is knocking on your heart. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. These are words in red, exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
He's making a point. Here I am. I stand at the door of your heart, and knock. And listen to this, Pat. If anyone, God's not a restrictive person. It doesn't matter who you are, what people, what they try to put on you, what label. Listen, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, you got to do two things. You got to hear, and you got to act upon what you hear. Because a lot of people hear God. They hear the wooing, and they hear the knocking, but they're just like, I ain't getting it.
They don't know. All right.
I'm not getting it. You getting it? I'm not getting it. And maybe your perception of God has just been twisted. Listen, you know, for many years I thought, you know, before I knew God, when I didn't know God, I had a perception of God, and my perception of God was not right. I thought that he was up there with the ruler looking just to whack me every time, not knowing the reality that he's a loving father and desires relationship with me, with you, with all of us. And so he stands at the door knocking, and if you hear his voice and you open the door, this is what happens. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Man, you got to sit down with Jesus. You have an opportunity to dine with the King. But we're talking about being hungry. We're talking about having, you know, God. But listen, before we can have a move of God in the land, we need to have a move of God in our heart.
Amen.
We need to have a move of God that just changes us from the inside out. You can remember the days ago. Listen, you can have that and then some. You can have as much of God as you want. The question is, how much do you want? But you can have more. And you know, during the break, Steve, we were talking about, you know, it's not just enough to know God, but now that you know him and you're spending that time, you got to be raised up.
Yeah. You got to be matured. And, you know, it just made me think about, it's just, you know, we were talking earlier, it's just like, you know, a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old has the physical capability to have a child.
Mm.
But the question is, you know, should they really, I mean, do they have the maturity? Is it really a good idea? Do they have that financial ability? I don't know. But maybe somebody's specific situation, maybe they would. But in the grand text of things, it's just like they need to be matured. They need to understand to have that wisdom of how to raise up the child, that maturity to say, okay, I'm gonna lay this aside because I need to focus on this child.
Right.
And it's the same thing. It's just like if we want a move of God, if we want just a powerful move of God to be birthed in our lives, and we have to have that maturity to carry it. We have to have that maturity to know that, you know, a parent knows after a few short weeks with a baby, it's not about feeling. I just need to love this child because even though I don't feel awake right now, this child is hungry.
Right.
And I need to get past my feelings and lay down my life for this child. And it's the same thing. We have to be mature. We've got to grow up in Christ. We've got to be disciples. And if we don't know what that is, it's like get discipled, grow up in Christ so that we can become mature and walk that out with God.
That's so beautiful because it comes a point in time where young people, they grow up and they say, I'm no longer looking for people just to take care of me. Mm. But when you grow up, you start realizing, hey, I need to be able to take care of others. Right. I need to take responsibility for my household as well. This is not just my parents' house, but this, you know, this is my house. This is our lawn. This is our stuff. And they begin to add and contribute. It's the same kind of thing when we're growing in God. At a certain point, we realize, hey, this is not just about the minister up front. This is not just about this person or that person, but I am a member. I am a part of the family of God. I am one of God's sons. I'm one of God's daughters. And you know what? I want to grow up in him. I want Christ to be fully formed in me. And I want to be the move of God in my own heart and in my own life. Listen, there is hope. There's hope for America. There's hope for the world, and it's Jesus Christ. Listen, you can have a passionate relationship with him. I love what John Wesley said. He said, you know what? You don't have to promote a fire. He says, I just light myself on fire, and people come to watch me burn. Light yourself on fire for God. Light yourself on fire, and the fire will come.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio,
and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.